The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hi, this is Jim.
And this is Max.
Check out our podcast, The Step Over, Liberty Ballers Podcast Network, for all of your Sixers needs.
Player analysis, game breakdowns, who would look coolest in a headband, and more.
Subscribe to Liberty Ballers podcast feed on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and check out The Step Over, a podcast about Sixers basketball.
Mostly.
Welcome into At the Podium 10.5, brought to you by the fine folks at SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I am your host, Michael Kist. Follow me on Twitter at MichaelKistNFL. Today, it's all about the coordinators. Jim Schwartz talks about the defense allowing 27 points to the Dallas freaking Cowboys, the state of the secondary, and he also strikes back about his controversial quote-unquote sticks defense or picket fence defense, whatever you want to call it. And I think he actually makes a pretty good point about it, although I'm not sure y'all want to hear that right now. Then it's Mike Rowe, who is facing major scrutiny right now. Just as a side note, in between the scheduled work I do here as we transition from Dallas week to this upcoming Saints game, I'm going to be looking at the Frank Reich offense in Indy to see if I can find any key differences between what Reich is doing and what Rowe is doing. So for me, the jury is still out on that. We'll see what I find and I'll go from there. But today on this show, Rowe answers questions about Golden Tate playing 29% of the snaps in his debut, what role Josh Adams has carved out for himself, and of course he's going to field some questions about why the offense can't get off the ground early. Up next here on Bleeding Green Nation, we have the Kist and Solak Show coaches film review of the Dallas game. We swear it's the last time we're going to talk about it. For now, let's get to these press conferences.
It's like trick-or-treating when there's not a big crowd. You guys get to grab a whole handful. Usually it's please take one, you guys. Now just keep taking, just keep taking three questions. No. What do you guys got?
Where do you see the state of the cornerback position with the injuries and everything, and what you have?
Well, I mean, I hate to get cliche, but it is what it is. I mean, you know, we got some guys hurt. We got some guys that are working hard to get back. We got some young players that need to fill in and make their way in the league. We got some guys that aren't coming back, obviously. Darby's not going to come back. Rodney McLeod's not coming back. The other guys will all have a chance to get back. But our job as players, our job as coaches is to find a formula that works for the guys that we have. In my mind, that's the essence of coaching. Take what you got and try to figure out. It might look different than when we were at 100% strength.
Fourth quarter, this seems to be a little bit of a running theme this season in the fourth. What are some of the things that you could do better to stop offenses late in games?
Yeah, I think so many of those have come down to a play and a drive that we got a chance to get it stopped and we haven't made the play. Yeah, I think, you know, part of the NFL like goes in streaks. I remember, I think it was a couple years ago that we were giving up a bunch in the first half and then the second half. I think it was maybe 2016. First half, we gave up a bunch of points. Second half, we, like, gave up any. And then I took a lot of questions earlier this year about the difference between us, between road and home and stuff. So I think some of those things are just things that come up over the course of time. Those guys make plays, at different times. But I think the theme of the fourth quarter is we need to finish, and we need to make the plays when they count. We haven't done that. That's why we're 4-5. We haven't made the plays when they've been needed to be made, whether it's Carolina, whether it was last week, you know, whatever week it is. We need to make those plays, not just in the beginning game. We started some games pretty good. It doesn't matter. It's a 60-minute game.
Hey, Jim, on the Dak Prescott sneak for a touchdown where they were hurrying up to get to the line and score, and it looked like the defense maybe wasn't fully set. Is that how you viewed it? Is it something that you've addressed with the team?
Yeah, it was a hurry-up situation. We, you know, we just got to be ready to go when they put that ball down. You know, we sort of let them in without a whole lot of resistance there, because we weren't sort of set to play in the A and the B gaps, and actually even misaligned on one of those. You know, there's a lot of times where, you know, you get beat physically in the NFL. You know, a guy makes a reception, and, you know, they got good players, we got good players. Sometimes that's the way it goes. Sometimes a guy will, you know, make a nice run and break a tackle. You know, that's sort of the basis of this league. But, you know, that's a particularly hard one to swallow, because we weren't set. We weren't ready to play right there. And there's no excuse for them hurrying up. We had plenty of time to, you know, communicate the call and get set. We just weren't there to do it.
You got LeBlanc to replace Dexter McDougal. Were you hoping he was going to be able to step in and do what McDougal was doing? And if so, why didn't he play at all?
No, we liked Vontae in that matchup. I thought he did a good job against Bailey most of the time. He gave up one completion to him when he had it, but we liked Maddox matching up. And not that we don't have confidence in Cravon, but that's just the way that we planned that game. Plus, we were getting Corey Graham back. It just made sense to try to accentuate that matchup. We thought that was our best matchup for the slot.
Without Darby for the rest of the way, it looks like Rasul is going to have a bigger role. How did he play Sunday, and what does he need to do to fill that spot?
Well, I played like a 27-20 loss, and that's the way the team played. That's the way the defense played. That's the way he played. And I would say for anybody that played snaps on defense, that's the way we play. We all need to play better. We all need to play the pass better. We all need to tackle better.
What's going to be for him as an individual for the rest of the way?
He's got a lot of pride. He's got a lot of confidence. He'll bounce back from it.
What was the thinking behind the rotation at safety with Trey Sullivan and Corey Graham?
Corey's coming back from his hamstring. Didn't want to put in a position where it was too many snaps right in a row. We tried to manage that situation, make the best use of the guys.
Did it make you tired down the stretch?
Pardon?
The rotation is now smaller at the end. Are they tiring down the stretch?
I don't know. I thought we rushed really well the whole game. I mean, there was a lot of blitzes in our game plan that I just scratched at different points because it really didn't make sense. We needed more help in coverage, and it didn't make sense to blitz a lot of times because the four-man pass rush was getting there. I wasn't as disappointed in the pass rush over the course of the game as I was the run defense. And that's not just the D-line, but linebackers, defensive backs, defensive coordinator, position coaches, we all have a hand in that. And that's where I was most disappointing. And that's where maybe it looked like we might have got run down a little bit, so to speak.
Tackling hasn't been as good, at least from my vantage point, as last year.
Well, you got a pretty good vantage point.
Would you agree? Well, why do you think that is? A lot of them are the same guys and are just not tackling as well?
I don't know. I think a lot of tackling goes to positioning. It goes to playing fast. It goes to playing confident. So I think that, you know, first when you look at tackling, you generally go there. I don't think we've looked as fast and as swarming on defense. I think here's what happened. I think a lot of times last year we would miss the same number of tackles, but we were just flying around so fast, and guys were covering each other up. And I think that we got a lot of new faces, and they're all sort of working their way through playing off of the other guy. And there is something to that sort of, you know, communication, like offensive line, knowing what the other guy is going to do. I think we got some work to do there. There's zero good defenses in the NFL that aren't good tackling defenses. And Sunday night, we were not a good tackling defense.
Jim, third and long and fourth and long, what makes you go with the picket fence defense there, and what needs to be better?
What do you mean, what needs to be better with it?
Well, if at all, do you think it needs to improve? Do you think that...
We haven't given up one first down in 3 years playing that defense.
The Tennessee game?
That was not that call.
And then the third and 15, that
was not that call.
Jim, I guess I was going to ask a similar question, but it does seem like some of the situations where you are third and 10 plus, you're playing well off coverage, and the idea is you kind of want them to dump the ball down and make them run for the first down, but they've been either getting first downs.
Haven't got any first downs on those calls. So I don't know what you're really like talking about right there. I mean, the time like the end of the first half one, that was man to man. That wasn't soft zone. Our soft zone is not soft zone. Our picket fence type defense has not given up a first down. Closest it came was they had a fourth down and short, ended up false starting. But I remember saying on the sideline, hey, is that the time that it finally? Because I would include. If you gave up enough yards on third down that they went for it on fourth and converted, I would consider that have the defense being defeated. The biggest thing is, you know, we're certainly willing to give up 10 yards in that. We ran that same defense later in the game, gave up 2 yards. So, you know, all calls look good if they work. All calls look bad if they don't work.
So your dime defense was a big part of your unit last year. Yeah. Very effective. Why haven't you been able to use it?
Strictly in terms of personnel, lack thereof?
Well, yeah, I mean, we haven't had Corey Graham for a month. And when he came, he just came back last game. Not having Rodney, it certainly changes things. You know, we've taken the approach of putting two linebackers on the field. We did that almost exclusively in 2016. We can still be successful whether we're nickel or dime. Last year, it really wasn't a choice as much as it was a necessity. And we made it work throughout season, gave us some flexibility. We can have that same flexibility in our nickel package.
Given all the injuries, if you got Sidney Jones back this week, would you play him still in the nickel, or would you put him outside?
Yeah, I think we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. You know, we'll see where he is in practice this week. He's got experience doing both, so we'll just see how that goes. I wouldn't want to telegraph it either way.
Coach, why do you think your defense hasn't been able to generate as many turnovers as they did last year?
Yeah, you know, you guys are worried about turnovers. I'm worried about stopping the run. I'm worried about getting third down stops. We take care of those things, then turnovers will come.
Other than the tackling, what did you see on those big runs? They had the 230-plus ones and some other ones.
Tackling. I mean, it's – yeah, I mean, you have guys in – positions to tackle. And again, tackling, well, I think a lot of times you guys look at it as a one-on-one thing. I don't look on tackling as a one-on-one thing. Not only is it, you know, the guy getting the guy down, but it's everybody else supporting him so he doesn't have to make a two-way tackle and, you know, different things like that. Plus, it's a tough situation sometimes when a guy has to make a tackle when a ball is broken through our front seven. We didn't see very many of those in the past. We saw a couple of them on Sunday night, and I mean, all due respect, I mean, Zeke Elliott's a great running back, but we shouldn't give up rushing yards like that.
Jim Brees seems to be about as unstoppable as any quarterback that's come along right now. I mean, you can't rush him, you can't cover his people. I mean, he's completing 75% of his passes.
No, it's up from that.
He's only been sacked 9 times. I mean, when you look at the film, what I mean, how do you approach it?
Well, I looked at the his interception reel. That was one. Yeah, it didn't take us very long to get through the sack reel and the interception reel. His incompletions, it didn't take us long to get through those. You know, I think it's. I mean, he's playing at an insane level right now, but it is sort of a trend of where the NFL is. When I was a kid, if a quarterback completed 50% of his passes, that was considered pretty good. If he had as many touchdown passes as interceptions, it was considered playing pretty good quarterback. And then it started becoming you need to throw twice as many touchdowns as interceptions. And then you need to complete 60% of your passes. And now pretty much everybody is like near that 70%. I mean, he's close to 80. He's 77 point something. How about 21-1 touchdown interception? Is that the new? I mean, he's made those things the new standard. He's extremely accurate quarterback, smart, knows where to go with the ball, still has good mobility, can buy time. We certainly have our work cut out for him, and he's got good players around him. And they're also, I think it's maybe lost in the fact that he's played at such a high level. They're a very good run team also. Ingram, Kamara, doesn't matter who they hand the ball off to. They've been a very consistent run team, a very good offensive line. There's a reason that they're the number one scoring offense in the NFL. And I dare anybody to say that they're the seventh best or the eighth best. You know, everybody that charts yards allowed and yards gained and everything else. It's points business, and they're putting up points like nobody else.
When you saw Scott, were there any calls you felt like maybe in retrospect you shouldn't have made?
Yeah, every week there is.
What stood out to you?
Send a letter to the editor on those. I think you guys probably get a lot of those. I don't know. I mean, every week there's an evaluation. First, I always watch the film three times. One time is evaluating the scheme and where we broke down on a play. The next is looking at individual players and how they played within the scheme. And then the last time I circle back is like, was this an effective call? Is there a better alternative in those situations? Nobody ever calls a perfect game. And it's always a matter of, you know, trying to figure out why something didn't work and have a better alternative for the future. I mean, I'm sure if you ask Wade Phillips, he would say the same thing. He's been around for about 37 years. I mean, he's got me by quite a few.
Hey, Jim, back to the takeaways real quick. I would imagine that's an important stat for you.
Yeah, like I said, well, you know, guys know my stats. What are they? Points allowed, takeaways. I mean, because one is our ability to control the game by keeping points off the board. The other one is either scoring on defense to help the offense or putting the offense in position to score. I mean, he had a half cast on his hand, but we got a chance to have a pick six early in that game. Didn't make the play. Didn't do it. I mean, it's a chance to really get a lot of momentum on our side and go. Those are plays when they are there. We got to make them. We can't hunt those plays and chase those plays. When you do, you start giving up gaps in your run game. You start guessing on routes. And you start looking bad in coverage when you start chasing turnovers. We need to guard against those things. Like I said, if we do a good job stopping the run, we do a good job getting stops on third down, turnovers come. They're important to us, but it's one of those things. The harder you try to get them, you know, sometimes the more you press and the less likely you are to get them.
Jim, what's the challenge? They have that Wildcat type quarterback hill. What's the challenge when you got the two guys?
Well, we faced Wildcat before. I think the thing that's a little bit of a different challenge with Hill is that he plays quarterback, he plays running back, he plays tight end, he plays wide receiver. So, you know, he wears so many hats that you have to cover him in all those aspects. I think that's probably, you know, Wildcat plays, read option plays, those are nothing new. It's all the different things. You have to be prepared for him lining up as a wide receiver. He can block like a fullback. He can block like a tight end. You know, so it gives you a little bit more. Did you have any more?
Yeah, I had one just real quickly. How much are you limited schematically by all these injuries, by having to play guys who haven't played all season and so forth?
Schematically, none. We can run our whole defensive playbook. Okay. All right, guys.
How's it going?
On the slow starts, it seems to be kind of repeating itself, that same trend.
Right. Well, we've put a lot of energy and thought into it, and, you know, we know it's an area that we need to improve on. We've been able to do a lot better throughout the course of the game, and it's something that if it was one thing, it'd be an easy fix, but it's, you know, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Kind of everybody is taking a share of that, and we're pointing those things out that need to be corrected, and trust me, when I say this, you know, we're spending a lot of time trying to get it fixed.
For instance, on that first play, the first play from scrimmage, what needed to be corrected there? What went wrong?
Well, I mean, we got you know, Lawrence got up and got an edge, and we, I mean, Zach is part of the plan, the outlet plan there, but want to try to get contained there.
It seems like
I just follow up a little bit on that. Was that an RPO? And if so, who were Carson's throwing options on that play?
No, it was not an RPO. Okay. No. No.
It just seems like Carson later in games, just there's a looseness to his game that we don't see early on. Do you see that as well?
Could describe looseness.
You know, he just seems to, I don't know, just settle in. He just seems to be just flinging it a lot more carefree. I don't know. He just seems a little tight early in games. Balls are sailing on him a little.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly settled in the game nicely the other night and, you know, had a lot of production. And, you know, like I just said a moment ago, we want to be able to do that from the very beginning of the game. And everybody recognizes it, and we're working diligently towards that end.
On that screen to Corey, Doug referenced it after the game. Thought he had a nice call against the coverage. Did he have a path there to go inside, or what's kind of the coaching point there?
Yeah, I mean, it was it's bang bang play, as a lot of screens are, where if you can get it started, you got a chance for big play. And you know, it didn't, in this case, it didn't work out. They made a good play.
Mike mentioned going with tempo was part of the reason Golden didn't play as much as maybe you guys expected. Did you think that was the case, and you guys plan to play him more?
Yeah, I mean, we brought him here to play him a lot, and you know how it is in the first week where he's just building the foundation, and we had a healthy package of plays that he was ready to run. He and the coaches worked really hard to prepare to be ready to go in there, and like Coach mentioned, some of that you know, may have been taken away a little bit when we got in and some of the no-huddle stuff that we do. And maybe limit his play count a little bit, but we had a healthy, you know, package of plays for him, and we'll continue to build on that.
Mike, what went into the decision in the first half to play so much 11 and so little 12?
I think it's just how the game unfolded, to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah, and the opportunity, Alshon in the end zone there. Look, was he sitting? I mean, what was kind of the miscommunication, or what could have been corrected there?
Yeah, I think Alshon hesitated just slight, ever so slightly, as the defender played out into him, and I think it just threw the timing off just a little bit. I mean, both guys were really where we anticipated being, meaning Carson and Alshon, and we just missed the play, unfortunately.
So in that, I mean, he's not supposed to sit against zone. He's supposed to kind of continue where he was going with his route, where the ball was.
Yeah, I mean, he was friendly right there in that window. And like I said, the defender, you know, caused a little hesitation there. And I think that just threw off the timing just enough.
What's your role in the first 15 scripted plays? What's your role in planning those leading in the game?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the specifics of, you know, how we go about our game planning.
Let's flush that first play out a little bit more. So it wasn't an RPO, but Zach was, I guess, not a primary target there.
Right. We had Alshon and Nelly outside. I mean, I'm sure you guys watch the tape of the game. So, we had both those guys in the perimeter out there. Yes. Yeah.
And that they did what they were.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Zach was supposed to get Lawrence there?
He was on Lawrence. He was on him. Yep. He didn't have an assignment error.
Did you think that maybe in the first play shouldn't have tight end blocking one of the best edge rushers in the NFL?
Something to consider for sure.
When it comes to explosive plays, Mike, Josh Adams had another one in the run game. Is that something you've seen from him?
We're seeing good things from Josh, and he continues to warrant consideration for more playing time. And, you know, I think that, you know, having missed the spring and most of training camp, he's really just starting to play his best ball, and I think you'll see Josh moving forward.
Mike, now that we're pretty far into the season, has the transition from Frank Reich to you at offensive coordinator gone as smoothly as you expected, and has that transition negatively affected the offense at all?
Well, sitting here with the record that we have, we're not pleased with where we stand, and we have aspirations to compete for the playoffs, and I think that we're still in the playoff hunt, and we can do that. And we've talked about some of the things that need to improve to give ourselves the best chance to do that.
Getting back to the start of games, you said we're looking into it. It's a number of things. What's that number of things? What exactly?
again, Zach, I wouldn't get into the specifics of everything that we've identified that we need to get better at. But just understand it's a collection. It's not one person. It's not one play. It's all of us. This is the greatest team game that there is. So it takes all of us. No man is an island. And, you know, we all know that we got to do better.
Like, when you're playing a team like New Orleans that's averaging 36-plus points a game, does it change at all the mindset of your offense, knowing that you kind of feel like you got to score a bunch of points?
Well, it doesn't, in the fact that we feel like we want to score a touchdown every time we have the ball. We're not trying to take any series off. And obviously, we know that they're playing at a high level. And, you know, we understand the challenge in front of us. But our goal each and every time we run out there is to score a touchdown.
Coach, Doug has often brought up the importance of doing well during the week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, finishing during the week, and that will translate into how you do during the game. So what have you made of the team's practice habits?
We've had good practices, good energy at practice, attention to detail. And the guys have been invested each and every day that they come in here and diligent in the meetings and carry the teaching out to the practice field. So, you know, again, it's not just one little thing. But in terms of saying that we're not practicing well, I wouldn't say that's accurate at all.
On the fourth down to Ertz, it seems like Aguilar's route ended up pretty close to him. Is he supposed to clear out there?
Nelly would say he could have gotten up the field a little bit faster there on that one.
The other fourth and one early in the game behind the Adams run to the right. What could have happened differently there to make that?
We allowed some penetration. We got to shut that penetration down on the edge. And, you know, they got an edge on us and forced, penetrated and they stopped the run. I mean, they made a good play on it.
It seems like the same pattern keeps repeating where you guys pile up a ton of yards and not a ton of points. I think you had well over 400 yards again. I mean, does that tell you that there's just a couple plays that are making the difference here? Or do you feel like the offense is functioning well between the 20s? You think it's?
Yeah, I mean, we certainly are moving the ball. We're making first downs, and you know, we're creating explosive plays, and but we're not doing it consistently enough, and we're not finishing enough drives, so that we're not scoring enough points, and until we're scoring more points, we're not going to be satisfied. And so that's what we're working towards each and every day. Everybody has that same intent.
You see the number for Carson, over 70%, 15-3. Is there something that he can do better, or do you feel like you guys aren't capitalizing on his production at this point?
Yeah, I think we would all stand here and say that we all need to do better. I don't want to speak for Carson. But, you know, as an offense, we know that we all need to do better because what we're doing right now isn't getting the results that we want.
Getting back to Bolton, he said he's going to be more involved. It needs to be at the expense of someone else. Are you able to play Bolton and Dallas Goedert in two tight end sets? Is that?
Yeah, there'll be some things that we can do there with that. Yeah.
So at whose expense is Bolton going to play?
I think it's probably to be determined, and it depends on the play, you know, what the play is that's called and what we're trying to get done with it. Just trying to put guys in the spots where they do the things the best. So we make that determination where it's a good play for Golden, then he'll be in there.
Mike, just to tie a couple of these questions together, have you guys explored the possibility that maybe Wentz isn't at his best working in scripted plays where maybe he's just more of a quarterback that likes to – play in the moment where it's not as kind of premeditated?
No, I don't think that's the case. Don't have any evidence that would support that. I mean, all these plays are on the game plan, and you know, they could get called at any time during the course of the game, and in fact they could get repeated during the course of the game.
Defense and how they're playing?
They're playing really well. I mean, obviously they're keeping the team's points down and they're getting the ball back for their offense. So they've got some talented players over there. And again, it's going to be a challenging environment. It's going to be loud. And we got to get a good plan put together and have a good week of practice and go down there and play Eagle football.
You mentioned noise, right? How much do you guys prepare for that during the week, knowing
Yeah, we'll prepare for it quite a bit, like we do in a lot of, you know, instances where we know that the crowd could be a factor, and we know how loud the dome can be. So, you know, we've done that since I've been here with Coach and other places that I've been with crowd noise during practice, and being able to communicate that way.
Thank you, guys.
Hello, you're listening to Simone DeRochefort, one of the hosts of The Polygon Show. It's a show all about the video games that you'll never have time to play, brought to you by four friends who are just as passionate about food, soft drinks, and TV shows as we are about video games. Every Friday, we bring you a new hour of personal stories, like how we found the best way to play Yakuza 0, or even what happens when you play so much Zelda that you hurt your hands and can't play games anymore. Above all, we just have a really good time talking about the games that we love. Check out the show on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcatcher. You can also find us at Polygon Show on Twitter and send a tweet to say hi. Thanks for listening.